Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning, everyone. This is Word of Eternal Life from Parkland, Florida, a ministry of Life Eternal Ministries. This last week, I have spoken about the Palm Sunday when Jesus entered triumphantly in Jerusalem. And after that, he did minister different times there, about 3 to 4 days. And then he got arrested. Now, it's written in the book of Gospel of Matthew, chapters 26, they made their plot against Jesus. And also in Mark chapter 14 and Luke 22. There we see they have been planning to arrest Jesus. This has been going on for ever since the prime of his ministry. Every time Jesus healing the sick as of demons, they were always after him. The one who criticizing the so-called Pharisees and Sadducees. These are the teachers of the law. They never could understand the work ministry of Jesus Christ. They did not check his birth, where he was born. They did not check his genealogy. They did not check the prophecies that when Messiah comes, how he is going to behave, how he is going to minister. So it's all written out in the prophecies, especially Isaiah's, about his birth in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, about his birth by Isaiah through the virgin in Isaiah 7:14, and the rule of Messiah in the future in Isaiah 9:2 onwards, and also many other prophecies concerning every point of his life and ministry. So this Bible is a book which talks a lot about the coming Christ. The Old Testament law, the books, the scholar, everything was speaking about the Messiah. Now, when Messiah came, they refused to accept. Praise God. Now, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit, mostly about the Passover with his disciples, the Passover which Jesus conducted, which was by many documentaries and scholarly researchers saying that it was Jesus ate the Passover on a Thursday evening, which was the Last Supper. Because based on the calculations and researches, the 10th of the month is the day, the month of Nisan, first month of the year, that Moses given the commandment through God that they will be taking a lamb and keeping the lamb for until the 14th. And in the twilight or in the afternoon, before the sun was setting, like about the light was very low, they were going to kill this animal, and their blood was going to be applied on the door panels of the door and protected from the death angel in Egypt when they left. This was the first Passover, and they were supposed to conduct this Passover every year. And this was the law given to them also. So that Passover, the Jesus' last Passover, which was happening to them in this particular season, and the very next day was the actual Passover, which was on the Friday, the 14th of Nisan, which is the actual date the giver God has given to them. And that falls on between March and April to our English calendar. Now, I wanted to give you some information from one of the book. It says Christ of the Scriptures. It was authored by myself with a lot of research and a lot of information from history, from Bible, from Torah, from many other resources. It's available in Amazon.com. The name of the book is Christ of the Scriptures. My name is Dr. Chaco Varghese, ChacoVarghese. And this is available in Amazon.com. So I'm going to go a little bit about this book where it talks about the Passover. According to Luke, the Gospel, the disciples asked Jesus where they should prepare the Passover. He directed them to go to the city, follow a man carrying a pot of water, and follow him. He enters the house, and he enters and asks the owner of the house, "Where is the guest room where I may eat Passover with my disciples?" "He will show you a large room, prepare it there." Disciples did as Jesus had told them. Then the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Luke 22:15-16. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. In the same manner, he took the cup and gave it to them, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Luke 22:20. By this time, Judas Iscariot had already prepared his plan to betray Jesus to the Jewish leaders. He had already received the price of 30 pieces of silver. In chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, we can read the longest prayer Jesus prayed. No, Jesus must have prayed the longest prayer than this one, but we don't have the discrimination. It's not in the Gospels. We know that Jesus goes in the Mount Olive in the night, and many documents say in the scripture that he goes to pray there and he stay all night. And now this is another time he prayed, the last prayer he prayed, basically before going to Gethsemane, he prayed this prayer with the apostles, the disciples, 12 of them. Now, Jude left before that, so Jude went to give an opportunity to how to betray, when to betray, and he knew that Jesus and disciples go to Gethsemane often or times, and he basically wanted to point out who Jesus exactly is, that some arresting warrant people who are going to arrest, they probably don't know exactly who Jesus is, because they all dress alike mostly. Maybe the disciples and Jesus may have the similar dressing signs, and they wanted to make sure who it is. So therefore, we read in the Gospels that Jude left early, and then they were not with him at this time when Jesus was praying, and after that he goes to the Gethsemane. After the Passover with the disciples, Jesus went into a garden called Gethsemane. I am reading from my own writing here. Jesus asked his disciples to pray. Then he went to say to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Amen. "Stay there. Stay here and watch with me." And Matthew 26:18 from NIV. Then he went forward some distance, fell face down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, and may yet not my will but yours be done." Luke 22:42. So Jesus was willing to drink the cup of suffering the Father had given him for the sins of the humanity. The cup of humiliation, agonizing pain, sufferings by the lashes, he was going to receive. Thus, as being God himself, Christ was seeing all these things happening to him. In the next few moments later, he was going to be taking this punishment, which is the cup of pain, sufferings, humiliation, and all of those. You know, they punched him, they spit on his face, slapping him, interrogating by Sanhedrin and also by Caiaphas, then going to Pilate for the death penalty, unjustly declaring him blasphemer against God and convincing him to, convicting him to crucifixion. Jesus saw all this being God, knowing that he was going to drink from the cup of the Father, which he was given to drink. Jesus was going to drink the cup of suffering, suffer pain and death because of us, the humanity. Now, he prayed there, I'm fast forwarding this my book where I'm written this. The blood was sweating from his agony of death as from a sweat came up from his sweat glands as the blood, and the blood vessels ruptured throughout because of the agony and pain he was going through. And I'm not going into the scientific evidences of that. There was some medical information that why this happens. The third time he went back to disciples and found them still sleeping. So three times Jesus checked them and they were sleeping. Now he be comforted. He said, be sleep. The Son of Man is going to be handed over to Iscariot. Now as he finished saying this, let us go, he said. Judas know this place, and Jesus went into this place oftentimes with the disciples per John's gospel. So he comes in with a band of people with so include soldiers, the leaders of the Sanhedrin's sent militant Judaic people with the sword and sticks and everything. And Jesus asked him, is this how you betray Son of God? And he gave him a kiss. Having endured brutal pain and agony in his prayer to the Father, he was confronted by men with torches and swords and a large stick. Roman soldiers and temple guards sent by Jewish officials and the high priest came to arrest him. Jesus asked the crowd who came to arrest him, who are you seeking for? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I'm he, Jesus replied. They drew back and fell to the ground. See, John 18, 7 to 8. See, as Jesus speaks this, who I am he, they fell back and they drowned. This is Christ, the powerful one, the Son of God, the creator of the universe. As Dr. Charles Swindoll, great preacher, writer, author, says, wrote in his book, it's called How Great is Our God. He referring to some of the other commentators before him, these battle-hardened soldiers fell like dominoes, one on the top of the other, as a surprised reaction to Jesus' sudden approach. So Jesus approached, say, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. They fell back and fall. So Chuck Swindoll says, it was like a dominoes falling, like a deck of cards. One fall, all of them fall. A more likely interpretation per Pastor Swindoll is that when mortal flesh met Jesus' majesty, the soldier's reaction was in keeping with others who have encountered the deity. See, the encountering a deity is a powerful thing. Now, the powerful Jesus, Son of God, even in human form, they were totally drowned. Again, he asked him, who is it you want? Jesus Nazareth, they said. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple and in courts and teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this was all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. They arrested Jesus and took him to the house of high priest. Here again, the prophecy was fulfilled on the arrest of Jesus, who was the Messiah. This is the prophecy from Zechariah some 700 years before his birth. Awake, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And I will turn my hand against the little ones. From Matthew 27:35, 22-35. This is the prophecy that God himself is striking his own son, his own shepherd, who he sent into the world to save the sinners. He strike him and his sheep scatters, because it says already before I read, the disciples fled. It was interpreted that the sword of the wrath of God against sin is spiritually commanded by God against his own son Christ. He referred to us against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me. Jesus was arrested and going to be stricken and crucified, and the sheep, the Jewish nation of the people who believed in him and were tended by him as a shepherd, would be scattered, which is basically primary his disciples. And I will turn my hand against the little ones, which is the disciples, which is referring to the disciples who fled, fearing the arrest. As we know, afterwards the majority of the Jewish nation joined in demanding the crucifixion of Jesus, as instigated by the high priest and the Jewish leaders, except for some of his very close disciples, which are women. Mary Magdalene, mother of Jesus, Mary, mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, and John the Apostle. Matthew 27:56. You can read these. Prophecies are fulfilled at the arrest of Jesus. Jesus was arrested in the presence of his disciples as Judas, his betrayer disciple, identified him to the Roman soldier while just finishing praying with the Father at Gethsemane. So Jesus' major complaint was Jesus claimed himself as the Messiah, the Son of God. You can read this from the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that every interrogations he went through, I am, and he shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Father and coming in the clouds. He answered to the chief priest Caiaphas, Are you the Christ, Son of the Blessed? That's what Jesus answered, I am. And the priest rent his clothes and said, what need we further? We don't need anything else. You hear the blasphemy. And they condemned him guilty to death. And then there is another question came, Messiah. But the answer to the question from Jesus, yes, I am, made the high priest angry. He did not like Jesus' claim to be the Son of God, not sure that the expectation of the Son of God should be like. He did not understand the birth of Jesus and his life as the Son of God. Jesus came in a humble and lowly manner as a baby born in the manger. Though in Bethlehem, the hometown of David, the king, and in David's family he was born, that seems to be not enough for the high priest and the Jewish expectation. They were expecting somebody else with the mighty power riding on a horse with chariots and followers of thousands and thousands of army coming in to Jerusalem and defeating Romans. That's not what Jesus came for first. According to the prophetical, and even including Moses' prophecy to them concerning the coming of Jesus Christ as the humble person who is coming to live among you. Isaiah's prophecies and all the prophecies written about Christ is in this first coming that he is a humble servant of God. Scripture proclaimed that Messiah would be the son of David. And when the time of the birth of Jesus, there were three magi came, and then the magi came into the palace of Herod the Great, the wicked, horrible man who killed many people, his own family members and wife. And he asked where the Messiah to be born. He summoned all the scribes and Pharisees to come in. That's my own words. This is actually a king does. But it says in the book of Matthew that they all trembled in Jerusalem, including Herod. And they finally pointed out that in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, show it to Herod that Jesus will be born, the Christ will be born in Bethlehem, of Judea, in Ephrathah, in the house of David. And that was proven to the Messiah, the prophets, message was proven to the scribes and Pharisees, and what happened to them? They forgot about it. By the time his ministry started, they don't even know who Jesus was. They couldn't identify him. Now I want to go forward, fast forward, that they crucified Jesus, and I'm not talking about all the other interrogations here. Matthew 27:32-36 and Mark 15:41, Luke 23:26-55. And John 19:17-30. So the soldiers dragged him to the crucified, having him carry a heavy wooden cross. Pilate had a notice prepared and fasted on the cross. It's read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. It was written in all three languages. It was Nazareus, King of Jews. It was in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. And they wanted to remove it. Let us say that he claimed that he is Son of God. He claimed that he is the King of Jews. Pilate said, no, whatever I wrote is wrote. Why? Why? Because he is. He was actually. So finally the scriptures were fulfilled based on that. And they mocked him. They scourged him. Their back was lashed. The rivers of flood of water drove through him. As it says in the Psalms 22, David's prophecies about the death of Christ was there. It was proven. It happened. All gospels speak about how much he was crucified. He was tortured. They put a crown of nail, thorn, which was basically made of iron, sharp nails on it. He hammered it against his head. This back was flooding. The blood was going. They scourged him. They beat him with the rod. They put him on in clothes. They took away their good clothes, and they hammered him. They plucked his hair from the face. They spit on his face. And if you ever seen the movie Passion, that you know what that exactly happened. And Jesus suffered. It says from the Psalms 22, David wrote in the prophetical spirit of Christ before the birth, around 2,000 years before his birth, it was written by prophetical word from David saying, many bulls surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan encircled me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It was melted with me. You can read this chapter, Psalms 22. Also read my book. This is fantastically written. I'm telling you, I have done many, many tons of research, tons of information. I collected all my life. I have entered that in this book. You have so many historical prophetical and informations in this book. It's called The Christ of the Scriptures. Jesus said, my mouth is dry up like a parched thread, and my tongue sticks to my roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of the death. Now these prophecies, Psalms 22, is all explained in this book. And Jesus' mother, Mary, wife of Cleopas, the Mary Magdalene, they stood by there. There were five Marys in the Bible, in the Gospels, who followed Jesus. They all were there. And only one apostle, the John, was there with him. And Jesus cried out. He prayed. Even the prayers of Psalms 22 is here. Why are you so far from me? So far from my cries of anguish, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night. But I find no rest. See, David had the similar experience, rather not with the crucifixion, but he had problems from enemies, and he struggled a lot in his life, and he prayed. Now, when he prayed, with his own experience, but basically it was kind of a double reference prophecy, and he was speaking on himself, but basically God's spirit came on him, and he started speaking about Christ's sufferings. That is Psalms 22. And Jesus cried out on the cross. You know what? Everything they had done to him, you know. They nailed him. They scourged him up before that. They dragged him he had to carry his own wooden cross. And halfway someplace, they had found a man. When he fell many times, they slashed him so many times. They lashed him. Then they have called Simon of Cyrene, a black African-American man who was, you know, I call him African-American now. He was not in America. He was in Italy. He was Cyrenian. He was a black man who followed Jesus, maybe. But at the time, he was ready to carry the cross. It was counted as a great thing for him and his family. It seems to be one of his sons were in the book of Acts. They were one of those guys who ordained Paul from the Antioch church. See, there is a Simon and Cyrene's descendant over there, we can see. There, Jesus cried out after that, you know. Before that, they have done everything on him. And the last thing they have done is pierced his chest, and blood and water came out. And there were so many medical studies been conducted, and I will tell you the book you must also read about the Jesus's experience, which was written by a great man in United States of America, and he was such a great author, The Life of Christ, and it is available also. And that gentleman, he is, I'm actually looking for his name. His name is Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel is a lawyer, a legal professional who worked for Chicago Tribune. And in his research, he conducted a research concerning the death and all the events of Jesus Christ to prove that he really was crucified. He was really was buried. He really was resurrected. And he went to many highly educated, researched, high-level doctors and pathologists and scientists and examined all the events which happened at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And his book, you can always go and read his case, The Case for Christ, The Case, C-A-S-E, The Case for Christ, as a legal analyst and a author and a newspaper editor. He was conducting this as a case. Jesus' murder was a case. It's the largest case the universe ever had. There was no reason Christ should have been crucified, but you know there was one reason God the Father have decided with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is that he will die for the sins of the humanity. Jesus did not die for nothing. He died for deliverance of people. And the Greek and the historians, Tacitus lived in AD 56 to 120, a Roman scholar and a historian. He confirmed that the death of Jesus Christ by Pilate, the Roman procurator. And also in the annals of Tacitus, you can read that. Justin Martyr, one of the other first century, actually third century, first century, AD 147, that goes to the second century, church father also written about it, and many other scholars and church historians have written that Jesus, Josephus, Flavius Josephus, his book of the complete book of Josephus describes about Jesus and his crucifixion. And especially, I would say for this season, this century, it is wonderful to read the Lee Strobel book about the case for the Christ. Gospel according to Mark, Luke, and John, and the heart of the matter, Luke says, it must be the same house as the upper room where the disciples, Jesus prayed, where the Holy Spirit descended. I mean, there are many documents of the issue or the subject of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the third day he is resurrected, and because of the short of time, there are so many evidences that Christ has been resurrected. He appeared to his apostles, and he appeared to Kepha, which is Peter, and his brothers. He appeared to almost 500 people at the time of his resurrection from the dead, and there were so many historical evidences. Even Pilate himself wrote a document about the resurrection of Jesus Christ when the middle of the morning, early morning, there was this high light coming from heaven. An angel of the Lord came down. There was a man with the brightness and shyness more than the brightness of the sun. And then the soldiers fell down and they collapsed and they lost their conscience. And they reported to Pilate, but that was documented. It was invented by one scholar who investigate all the ancient histories. Now, there are all these evidences. Now, why did Jesus die? If you are listening to me today, Jesus died for our own sins. He buried and resurrected and living for you in the heavens. If you accept your sins and pray to God for forgiveness and accept Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast. And if you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKOV like Victor at gmail.com. That is PR.CHACKOV at gmail.com.
NR Salon has moved to a new location, now working out of Miracle on 34th Street, 1320 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City. Their phone number has not changed. It is still 772-283-4974. You will receive the same quality service from Nick and Robin that you expect. Join Nick and Robin at Miracle on 34th Street. You can make your appointment by calling 772-283-4974.